standing over there worshiping God, praising the Lord, and just getting into worshiping the God, and I'm just having a good time. Anybody having a good time here today? Amen. It is my personal belief that you should have a good time in church. You should enjoy worshiping God. I was just enjoying myself, and the kids are all filed out, and I'm worshiping God, and then comes to me, oh, it's my turn. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I'm having fun. I love the Lord. I love the presence of God. Amen. Amen. I love the way people worship. Man, you can feel it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know there was announcements already, but youth convention is this week. That's right. Is that right? This week. Amen. Do you want to say anything about youth convention? Come on up here. Come on up and say something about youth convention. Okay, as your pastor, I am encouraging you, if you are a young person, to go to youth convention. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm very excited for youth convention this week. Anybody else excited for youth convention? I feel like the adults are clapping more than the young people. Come on, how about just the youth? If you are a young person going, let's hear it. Okay, okay. No, just try to be cool about it, right? Okay. So it's going to be an awesome time. Really excited. We have a huge group going. We have over 20 people. So, and I'm excited. I'm going to be chaperoning with Jamari and Fred, and I booked the hotel rooms. I booked 6 rooms. I was like, we're not going to need that many. No, we do need that money. So I'm super excited, but I have good news. It is free for attending the night services. So if you want to come for the night services. It's at 7 p.m. in Enfield. It's going to be awesome. And then really fast, who saw the CT All-State Choir at Winter Fire on Saturday? They're going to be there Friday night, so don't miss it. It's going to be an awesome time. And pray for our young people. Be refreshed in the Holy Ghost.
Even if you're above the youth age, youth convention is good stuff. Amen. If you are inspired by God moving in young people and you want to see young people get touched by God, you want to be a part of young people having a great time in God, go to youth convention. Praise the Lord. All right, that was one commercial. Save Our Children is going up until Easter, so just a few more weeks. You can see they've now updated their thermometers. Their goal is $1,000 to be a top dog. Now, this money doesn't stay in our church, but it does bless and support and help our youth department or our children's ministries department, including funds entirely our junior camp.
Yes, it does.
Junior camp in the Connecticut district is where many of our young people in Connecticut receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Amen. I know I was involved personally with junior camp for a number of years in a row, and it was exciting to see just dozens of young people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and God move in their lives for the very first time. I'll tell you, it's a worthy cause. I hope you'll support our young people and children's ministries. Our prayer conference, prayer breakfast. Amen. Brother Dyke, you want to say something about prayer breakfast?
Praise God. Our prayer coordinator has put together a very awesome schedule for the prayer conference. You can sign up right over here. The theme is the power of a praying family. And one of the things in the church is, and this has been Brother Greeley and I's sort of, we almost say it every service, but God, bring us one more family. And it also is helpful for, how many knows if you pray together, you stay together? Amen. So God has the ability that when families are estranged from one another, or in the case where maybe your whole family passed away and you don't have a family. Well, the Bible says God sits the solitary into families. Amen. And he said that no one that has had to go towards him and leave away from their earthly family, no one will have no family in the church. This church is a wonderful family of God. Amen. And if you stand for prayer and reaching out through prayer to your family, God has a way of working. His plans are way better than our plans. And he sees you right where you are. He sees you if you're separated. He sees you if you're apart. Amen? Amen. And God is able. So come with faith. Amen. That not only are we going to reunite and bless families that are already together, but more families that you don't even know, amen, are going to come into the house of the Lord. That's one of the things that's exciting to me the most, is that there are families that we have not yet met that we are praying for. Amen. And they're going to come. And we get to meet them. And we get to be part of their journey towards heaven. Amen. What a great God we serve.
Praise the Lord. Did he, the added bonus on the end after the prayer time? Breakfast. He forgot that part. But praise the Lord. It's all good stuff. Praise God. Turn with me in your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 33, and also from 1 Kings 17, verse number 1. Two places in Scripture. Now, by the way, not that it... I've in this last week, my regular Bible reading, went through these portions of Scripture. And it was just refreshed in my mind, and it is renewed in your heart. It is amazing how that the Word of God can actually stir you to understand what Scripture is. And if I can, by some means, give you a little portion or just a piece or a part of what God wants you to have, right? What He wants you to have, amen, it's powerful. Amen. Let me go to the Word. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 33. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger. Starting out bad, but there's good here. The Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Okay, that's a bad part. And Elisha the Tishbite, the prophet, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Wow. The man of God is announcing what God is going to do at the prophet's word, which is a judgment against a wicked and perverse people. Now, my title, after all that, what you need from God is coming. What you need from God is coming. I promise you, you're going to see something that God is able to do. I pray you'll see it today. Lord, I ask even in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your perfect will, God, that your anointing, Lord, would be upon us. Anoint me to speak, Lord, the words that you want me to say. Anoint our understanding to receive the word of God, to receive in our hearts, Lord, what you have done for others that you will do for us. I pray your hand, Lord, your blessing upon this service. And I ask even in the name of Jesus right now for your blessing and help right here today in this people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. There are times in our own lives, my life, your life, and where we live right now. Sometimes we end up not necessarily because of our own fault, but sometimes it is in desperate places. Someone say a desperate place. Well, sometimes we get there because of sinful actions. And sometimes we're put in that desperate place because of the actions of other people. But nevertheless, there are times of desperate places. Amen. This story, chapter 16, 17, this whole portion of scripture is talking about a desperate place that Israel was in. The prophet of God was warning and telling and invoking what God was going to do. And God did what he did because of actions. This story is one of those places. There's desperate places right here in the lives of this people. There's desperate places because you're weak in your flesh. Maybe your body is in need of healing. Maybe your home is needing restoration. Maybe your finances are in a mess. Whatever that it might be, it could be a varied amount and places, but there are desperate things in the lives of men. Amen. Now let me tell you that God is able to provide our every need, even in a desperate place. Even when we don't know where it's going to come from. Even when we don't understand how to get out of this desperate place. See, in this story, Elisha, he went into hiding. He gave the declaration. He told what God said. It's not going to rain. There will be a drought. And now he's running for his life. Now he's hiding. But God provided for him water by the brook Cherith. Ravens, get this, ravens, birds, brought him bread and flesh in the morning. Delivery. Every day. Get this. And bread and flesh in the evening. The birds brought him bread and meat every morning and every evening. Now, it was a desperate place, but God provided his need. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has God ever provided a need for you when you were in a desperate place? I'm telling you, there's things in my mind that come to fresh mind right now, but let me not go into those. God directed Elisha to a not expected place. You know, you'd think if you were in a desperate place, you needed to find food, you'd go someplace that there's food. Or if you needed to have some substance, you'd go to some place that had substance. God directed Elisha to a widow woman in Zarephath. 1 Kings chapter 17, picking up reading at verse number 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he's got a word from God. He's going to where God pointed him to, and he's looking for the person, a widow woman, that God is going to use to sustain him. Verse 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. You know, put down your vessel and bring me up a drink of water from the well. And, you know, water was getting scarce at that time. There's been a drought now in the land, but she does, and she puts down her sticks and gets that water and is ready to give it to the prophet. Verse 10, so he arose and went to... I read that one already, didn't I? Verse 11, and she was going to fetch it. He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Man, it wasn't just a desperate place for the ungodly. I tell you, sometimes even the people of God can get in a desperate place. Sometimes there is need even in our own lives. The widow woman was running out of resources. She had yet just a little bit of meal in the bottom of the barrel. Just a very tiny bit of oil that was left in the cruse. And she was going to make the Last Supper. At least that's what she thought. For her and her son. And that would be it. They'd have nothing left. They don't have anything more to give. Sometimes people think, I don't have any extra. You know what we think and what God thinks is sometimes very, very different. She didn't look at what she had as having very much. She wasn't looking at what she had as being extra. She didn't put what she had in that category. It wasn't considered extra. Just wait. You're going to see what happens in this very case. What you need from God is coming. This widow woman had a need that she was hoping to get from God, and she didn't even know it yet, but it was on the way. The prophet had arrived. God had sent him there to meet her for this very cause, and God's plan was rolling out. It was taking place, and God had everything in control. Now, she couldn't see it yet. She didn't know that there was enough yet. Verse number 12. Oh, I already read that one. Verse 13, and Elisha said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, go gather the sticks, prepare the meal, put in the oil, but make thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. You know, there would be the fleshly, carnal nature. Man, that guy had a lot of nerve. That, what is he thinking? He was proclaiming the word of the Lord. God's ways are higher than our ways. When we think that, man, I don't have enough. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't understand how this can work. And the word of God, the man of God, the prophet of the Lord says, give first and God will meet your need. Wow. Now, I know that plan works. Anybody know that plan works?
Oh, yes.
man, I know for sure that plan works. But there's a lot of people that don't understand that yet. The widow woman didn't understand that yet. Verse 13. Elijah said unto her, fear not, do as you said. Bring me a little cake first. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord of Israel, the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. If you will do what the prophet said, what the word of God records, if you'll do what the plan of God is, God will provide your need. Amen. Her need was, don't starve to death. I'm telling you. If you want to have substance, then follow the plan of God, and God will bless your substance. Amen. What you need from God is coming. Trust God. Verse 15, just reading on. And she went and did according to the saying of Elisha. Made a little cake for the prophet first. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Now, doesn't say it right here, but later on we read that barrel of oil, the little bit in the bottom, the little oil in the cruse, the substance that they needed lasted for 3 years. Not just one more meal, but day after day, after week, after month, after month, after year, and a year more. I tell you what, God has a way of sustaining us. Even when we don't really understand, I tell you, the word of God is true. We can trust God. Amen. Also in this story, just moving on in scripture, the story, the widow woman's, her son got sick. So sick that he died. Verse number 20, moving down just a few verses. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O my Lord God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? He got sick and he died. Verse 21, and he stretched himself upon the child 3 times. And cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let the child's soul come into him again. He's praying that he would be raised up. Verse 22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elisha. I tell you, it's always worth it to pray. Amen. It's worth it to pray, to seek his face, to find his will, to do it and trust in the Lord. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came again unto him, and he revived. I tell you, God can do, has done, will again be the provider. He'll do the impossible. He did a miracle in that family's life. You might be in a desperate place. It may seem like it's an impossible situation, but what you need from God is coming. Amen. What you need from God is coming. The next chapter, 18, verse number 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elisha in the 3rd year. Drought's been going on a long time now. Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And now Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. It wasn't just a desperate place for the prophet. It wasn't just a desperate place for the widow woman and her son. It was a desperate place in all of the nation. The whole country was in a desperate place because of the famine, because of the sin, because of their own actions. The judgment of God was coming to an end. Moving on from this portion in chapter 18, the story gets very detailed. It tells about the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, and there was 450 of the prophets of Baal, and they were put to a test. Chapter 18, verse 24, moving down some more in this chapter. And call ye the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. He's putting out a challenge. You pray first, I'll pray next, and we'll see whose God answers by fire. I will call in the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well. It's a good idea. Let's do it. Let's do it. Amen. I tell you what, let's just go ahead and live for God. Let's go ahead and believe the Lord. Let's go ahead and trust in him. Even if you're in a desperate place, I'm telling you, you can't trust God. The religions of this world, and there's many, will not save you. But when a true believer in the name of Jesus Christ, who believes the word of God, when that person prays, what you need from God is coming. Amen. What you need from God is coming. What you need from God is coming. Amen. Verse 37, jumping down some more. 1 Kings 18, picking up at verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. You see, the prophets of Baal, 450. It must have been orchestrated. It must have been spectacular. It must have been 450 prophets. Who knows what kind of things they did? They ended up cutting themselves and crying and making a great show. A great show is not going to save you. A great show is not going to provide your need. It's not what you need from God. But they tried hard. And they failed. Their God did not answer by fire. They started in the morning. They went through midday. And now it's time for the evening sacrifice. And Elisha tears down their stuff, builds up an altar, prepares for the sacrifice. You have to read it. It's pretty elaborate, pretty extensive. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. I tell you what, we need to get our hearts turned back toward God, toward a faithful life in serving the Lord. When we serve the Lord, God makes the way. Then the fire of the Lord, verse 38, fell. And consumed the burnt sacrifice. Not only that, consumed the wood. Not only that, it consumed the stones. And not only that, the dust. God burnt it up. And get this, water was precious like gold. And they had poured barrels of water on the sacrifice and on the wood. Anybody that knows wood that's wet don't burn real good. But God burnt it up. Burnt up the sacrifice. Burnt up the wood. Burnt up the stones. Burnt up the dust. And then they dug a trench around. The trench was filled with water. God licked up the water. What a spectacular sight that would have been. Wouldn't you have wanted to be there to see what? Let the God that be God answer by fire. I'll tell you what, God's ways are not lacking in any manner. Amen. There was one man of God, and God performed a miracle. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God." I'll tell you what, when people really understand and they feel the presence of God and they see the miraculous works and they understand that God is, Jesus is the Lord. What you need from God. Anybody got a need? You need something from God here today? I'll tell you what you need from God is coming. 1 Kings chapter 18, just a few more verses down at verse number 41. I'm reading from the King James Version. And Elisha said unto Ahab, "Get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." God is telling Elijah that the drought is going to end, that God is going to provide the rain that the nation needs. "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Now, at this point in Scripture, the best I can tell that it hadn't rained there in Samaria for 3.5 years. There had been no dew, no rain, great drought. Everything is dried up. It's famine across the land. The crops are destroyed. The animals are dying. The water is gone. And God promised rain. Get ready. What you really need from God is coming. Amen. There's people here in our church that have had an experience with God. People that have repented of their sins, asked God to forgive them, and God did forgive them. There's people that have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ right here in this tank. And I'll tell you what, by the word of God, by what God said, those sins are gone. Before God, they're non-existent. But you still need the gift of the Holy Ghost. You need the presence of God in your life. The infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's a need. There's people that need a healing in your body. I'll tell you what, God is a healer. Amen. There's people, there's parents. And I am a parent and I'm a grandparent now. But I tell you what, God is needed in our families. If you have kids and you're raising kids to be adults, or if you have adults and grandkids are coming up behind them, then you need God in your family. Amen. We have needs. Get ready. What you need from God is coming. Verse 42 in Kings 18. "So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elisha went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees." Elisha went to pray. And yes, we need to pray. "Oh God, I told him what you told me to tell him. I said what you said. I believe the promises that you gave are coming to pass. I believe you made it not rain, and I believe you will make it rain." Jesus, Jesus. but he hadn't seen any rain yet. But it's coming. Amen. He didn't see any clouds in the sky. But because God said it's going to rain, he knew the rain was coming. Don't make me a liar, God. Go ahead and let it rain. Bright sunshine, clear sky, hot outside. God, it's going to rain. Lord, I believe your word. Sometimes we got to pray, God, I believe your word. You can put your finger on the page. You can believe what the word of God says. You know that it will come to pass. You can believe the Lord for his word. It's going to rain. What you need from God, if it hadn't rained in 3.5 years, the whole nation needs rain. What you need from God is coming. Verse number 44. And it came to pass. Oh, did I read? I don't think I read verse 43. Did I? And he said, go up, telling his servant, go up now. Get to a higher spot. Look toward the sea. And he went up. He went up high and looked and said, there's nothing. The servant is looking for a sign. He's looking for something in the sky that will indicate rain is on the way. He came back. I didn't see anything. Bright sunshine, clear skies, no rain. Okay? Go look again. Go on back up there again. Go look out there again. If you don't get what you asked for from God when you prayed the first time, guess what? Pray again. Go back. Get up there. Go look again. The rain is coming. God said it's going to rain. Go up there and look. Goes up there again. Up there the second time. Clear skies. No clouds. Goes back down. No rain. Now, this could get old to some people. The prophet says, go again. 3 times, go again, 4 times, go again, 5 times. Comes back, no clouds, bright sunshine, hot outside, no rain. Go again, 6 times, no clouds, bright sunshine, hot outside, no rain. Comes back, prophet said, guess what he said? Go up again. Keep looking. Maybe you haven't seen the answer to your prayer today. Maybe it hasn't happened yet. Maybe you haven't got it in your pocket right now. You keep looking. You keep praying. You keep going. You keep believing. Maybe you got another doctor appointment. Maybe you still have a problem in your body. I'll tell you what. Keep praying. Keep believing. God is a healer. God is a provider. God is going to make it rain. Keep going. Amen. He said, go again 7 times. Prophet must be getting tired of telling him. The servant's probably getting tired of asking. Go again. Go up now. I've been up there 6 times already. Go again. Go up there where you can see everything. You can see far away. Go up there and look towards the sea. Look out over the water. Look up there over the water and see what you see and come and tell me what's there. The prophet's believing the promise of God that there will be rain. Verse 44, from verse 44, and it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. There's a little puff in the far distance. I tell you what, the prophet got excited. Amen. It was only a small sign in the carnal, but it's a big sign before God. He could hear the sound of an abundance of rain. The bottom part of verse 44, and he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. You're going to get hit by a raindrop. A bunch of them. Now, based on the little cloud, Elisha told his servant, go tell the king, go tell Ahab, don't get caught in the rain. Hurry home. Don't let the rain catch you outside. It's going to be a big storm. Amen. Don't ever underestimate the power of a spoken word of faith. Amen. Believe what the word of God has to say. Amen. Verse 45, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. What God said had come to pass. It was, the drought was ended. God's fulfillment was done. It was raining in Samaria. You can take it to the bank. This isn't wishful thinking. Or it's not an emotional hype. It's the unshakable promise of a faithful God. God will do what he said he will do. He'll keep his word. God has never failed. And you won't be the first one that God fails. Because God will not fail. Anyone. God cannot lie. It's true because God said it. It is true. It is so. God opens doors that no man can shut. He makes a way where there is no way. He brings beauty out of brokenness. He finishes what he starts. He's not late. He's lining things up. He's not ignoring. He's orchestrating. Putting things in place. No matter what you're needing God to do, God is able to do it. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. What you need from God, it's closer than you think. God is working in ways that you can't see yet. The believer in God will hold to your faith. The believer in God will stand on his word. The believer in God will speak the word of faith. Go ahead and let your mouth say it out loud. It will rain. God will meet my need. I believe it. I believe it. This is not maybe or might or sometimes. When you are faithful to God, God will meet your need. Ignore what you're not seeing. Maybe you're on the second, third, fourth, or fifth, or sixth time up the side of the mountain. Maybe you've looked out over the sea before. Ignore all that. God's promises are coming. Amen. Ignore what the naysayers are saying. Ignore the doubt in your own heart and mind. I know we're flesh and we're blood. We're carnal nature. We are human beings. And it is the carnal nature of man to have doubt, to have fears, to be afraid. Believe God. Let your spiritual man pick you up and move toward God, and God will see you through. Go back again. In fact, go back 7 times if you need to. Keep going back. Keep looking. Keep expecting. I'm telling somebody here today, there's somebody right now in this place. Keep praying. It's coming. Keep worshiping. It's coming. Keep dancing before the Lord. It's coming. Keep giving. Keep working. Keep witnessing. It's coming. Keep being faithful. It's coming. The most important thing we can do when our back is against the wall, when we're between the proverbial rock and a hard place, for induced in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Musicians, would you come? I'm getting ready to close here. I'm going to close with this verse of scripture, Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. But I'd like to read it from 3 different versions of the Bible. Galatians 6, verse 9 from the King James Version. It's the printed Bible that I use. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Don't give up. The same verse from the Amplified Version of the Bible has just a slightly different wording. "Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in." And finally, Galatians 6, verse 9, from the Message version of the Bible. "So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will have harvest, a good crop, if we do not give up or quit." Amen. Would you stand with me? I know life is tough. And it's in a crowd this size, there are people in a desperate place.
Amen. That's right.
There are people right here today under the sound of my voice. You might not be saying it out loud. You might not be broadcasting it. And you know what? It's not everybody else's business. But it is God's business. I'm telling you, you can bring that desperate place and that need to Jesus Christ right now, here today. Amen. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that, my friend, is a need. We need to have remission of sins in our life. You can do that today by being baptized. We need in our life the gift of the Holy Ghost. We need the presence of God to lead us and guide us and direct us and help us. It's a need. We need the gift of the Holy Ghost. Who knows what other desperate places that people are in. I can't even imagine how the world has come against us, and the world has sometimes put us in a place that we don't belong, and we need God's help to be delivered from that place. God is a deliverer. God is able to bring us up and out of that desperate place and to meet our need. I'm telling you, God is able. Would you join me right now, and would you lift your hands, and would you lift your voice with me, and as we pray. pray, and as these singers sing, and would you join me here? This altar is open right now. I'm inviting you to come. Would you bring it before God? Would you place it on His hands? Would you let Him take control? Would you let God lead you out of that desperate place? Come. Let's pray. Let's sing. Let's worship. Let's magnify God together. Let's trust the Lord right now. He's able. Let's worship Him.